Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm glad you're here. We got Steve DelBianco with us, ladies and gentlemen. Steve's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the hardest working man on the planet when it comes to making sure that that governments don't do things to hurt our ability to use the internet and to leverage this incredible tool, that the government doesn't get in our way any more than is absolutely necessary. And he is the Vice President of Corporate Affairs for the Association of Competitive Technology and the Executive Director of NetChoice. And one of the things that Steve and I have talked about, and he's reported, I should say, to us over the years, is this issue of internet sales tax. It's a big debate. We've talked about it for years on this show. It's ebbed and flowed in the debate in terms of intensity and volume of the debate. And it's heating up again, though, now. And I've asked Steve to join us again to tell us where things are and where he thinks things are going. Steve DelBianco, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks for everything you do as a real warrior for small business.
Well, I appreciate that. And you too. Steve, for those who may have just, you know, tuned in or just been born or something like that, explain what's going on with regard to the internet sales tax debate.
You bet. And the first thing we want to say is that this has been going on for 50 years, long before the internet was even around. It started back when catalogs would allow companies to reach customers in states all around the country.
Isn't that what they call the Quill Law or something like
that? Remember Quill?
It's
an office products company in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And I used to buy things out of their catalog for my small business as well. I mean, it was a great deal. And they would send you a catalog in the mail. You'd order some things on the telephone, no internet.
Pencils and pens.
And they'd ship it to you.
Pencils and pens and folders and things like that.
Exactly. Printer cartridges, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the state of North Dakota noticed all these Quill packages being shipped to customers in North Dakota. And they demanded that Quill start collecting sales tax in North Dakota for shipments there. And Quill came right back and said, look, for 40 years, the Commerce Clause of our Constitution says that only Congress can regulate interstate commerce. And this thing ended up going to the Supreme Court of the United States. To make a long story short, in 1994, the Supreme Court said, hang on, North Dakota and eight other states cannot force somebody like Quill to collect and remit and file for sales taxes unless they have a physical presence in your state.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court said, here's why. There are over 8,000 taxing jurisdictions with different rates and rules, sales tax holidays, different definitions.
Right.
And that...
And forms and remittance forms and all that kind of stuff.
And in toto, that scheme, that crazy complex quilt work, is an unreasonable burden on interstate commerce. And because of that, North Dakota cannot force Quill to collect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that has nothing to do with the internet. The internet just sort of stepped right into those shoes because it became a better way to do catalog shopping.
Exactly. This was all done by the Supreme Court, decided by the Supreme Court, before anybody had ever sold one thing online.
That's right. And I know you know that, but people still call this debate the internet sales tax. They still start conversations by saying that online sales, should they be taxed? And the answer is they are taxed. Quill does collect sales tax for everything Quill ships over the internet to every state where they have a physical presence.
Right.
Massachusetts, New York, there's three or four states. And when you buy anything from HomeDepot.com over the internet, guess what? They collect your sales tax.
Right.
Because Home Depot has a store in every state.
Right.
Of course, you're allowed to take back what you bought to a Home Depot store, and that makes it really convenient. But look, some businesses decide to have stores in every state, and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some like Amazon or Overstock.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. It's a business model selection. And where are we today? Well, the states are still really anxious to force companies like Quill and Amazon to collect everywhere.
They're going bankrupt, Steve. I mean, California's fallen off the ocean into the ocean. I mean, it's the states are in desperate situations right now.
Yeah, well, if you're in a desperate situation like California with $23 billion deficits, the last place that California is going to turn is going to be sales tax that's not being collected on consumers in California because there's just not enough money there. The entire national state, all the sales taxes across the country that are not collected on online sales amount to about $3 billion a year. The whole country.
Say that again. Let's repeat that. So you're saying that every dollar of sales tax on every dollar of online retail.
Most of it gets collected because of two reasons. Anytime a business, think about Small Business Advocate listeners, your small businesses. Almost all of you have been through what I've been through, which is a sales tax audit.
Right.
Where your own state tax auditor shows up and says, show me your accounts payable ledger.
Right.
And he wants to say, on everything on your accounts payable ledger that you've purchased, show me that you either paid sales tax or you owe me a use tax.
Right.
For anything that you used and consumed.
Right.
You've been through it. So, look, businesses pay their use tax. And the use tax is just the self-paid side of the sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
So, 9 out of every $10 of e-commerce is business-to-business or B2B.
Right.
And businesses pay their use tax.
And 1%.
10%.
10%
is business-to-consumer.
And you say that's about $3 billion a year. I thought that number was more like $20
billion. No, that is what some of the state, University of Tennessee analysts came up with that number. But he, again, missed the boat because they completely overestimate the B2C over the B2B.
Right.
The other thing they forget, they forget that folks like L.L. Bean has a store in a dozen states.
Right.
And they
right.
collect for those states.
Right.
Like, as I said, HomeDepot.com collects mm-hmm. in every state.
And we've all been through that. If you happen to live in a state where it just so happens that an online merchant has a nexus, as they call it, then you're going to have to pay taxes on it.
Here's the irony. Quill was purchased by Staples.
Huh.
Staples has a store in
they got them all over 2,000 units.
Right. So stop at shop at staples.com today, and they'll collect and remit the sales tax. So what are we left with? We're left with about $3 billion. And a Forrester analyst came up with that number a little while ago, and there are other folks that have backed it up. It's roughly $3 billion a year total, and this is all money that is remaining in the consumers' pockets,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the states wanted to move to the state
mm-hmm.
capitals. So
but
that sort of sets the
stage. It's the imagery, though. It's the idea that the states are dying. They need more money. This is money on the table that's being lost. And the idea that their local retailers, which I have a great affection for, as do you, Steve, may not be as competitive because they have to charge sales tax.
Oh, wait a minute. That second part just doesn't wash.
But you
local
know,
retailers
I, you know
the
that's
internet.
The argument they make, though.
You know what? The state just wants the money. They're not really looking to protect small retailers.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Steve. We've got to take a quick break. We have to sell some things for which we're going to collect and remit sales tax. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Steve DelBianco is our guest.
Good golly, Miss Molly. Sure like the ball. Good golly, Miss Molly. Sure like the ball. When you're mocking at a moment.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. Thank you for checking it out. Thank you for taking advantage of all the resources that we make available to you there. Thousands of interviews that we've conducted with all these really smart members of our Brain Trust. And their articles are there too, by the way, folks. Thousands of those, including the ones that I've written. My blog is there, and we've got we post there on a regular basis that I think you'll enjoy those. We'll follow you home with those. If you want to subscribe, you can also subscribe to my free newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And, of course, my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is there, and lots of other stuff. So I hope you check it out. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between. We got something you can read or listen to. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Steve DelBianco is our guest. And our good friend, the executive director of NetChoice, which is the organization that he works with to engage in the debate on the governance of the Internet. Right, Steve?
That's right. And also to protect e-commerce. I really like to say, Jim, that my mission is to make sure the Internet stays safe for capitalism.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to err on whatever side we have to err on to make sure that the Internet does not become so regulated that it can't be the lever. I mean, Steve, when I think about all the businesses that have been able to either start or grow or expand or Jim, save
how
themselves.
Survive? How about survive?
I said
Main Street USA, small businesses that are struggling because Walmart and shopping malls are crushing their walk-up traffic,
yep,
suddenly discover they can put up a catalog or a website.
Exactly.
And sell their specialty items,
yeah,
to customers around the world. And those are the small businesses that find out that the Internet is their best friend,
right,
not their opponent.
That's exactly
right. Before
right.
the break, you were saying that states want, we agreed, states want the money, and then you said, well, states want to defend Main Street from the Internet. And the answer is not true.
That's right.
There are some Main Street retailers who don't get it about the Internet or don't have anything special
but
they can sell.
But they're dinosaurs waiting to become extinct.
They are. If you've got an office supply store on Main Street, you've got to have something special, or there's no reason for people to pay a little extra to get that work, to get that
right.
stuff from your store.
That's exactly right.
So I told you that the Supreme Court set things up in 1994 by saying that the 8,000 tax jurisdictions with different definitions was such a unreasonable burden that you couldn't force any businesses to collect and remit taxes in states where they didn't have a presence. And what that sort of threw down the gauntlet. It was a challenge to the states. The states could either respond by cleaning up their act, simplifying things dramatically, and come back to the Supreme Court later on. They could have done that, but they decided not to. They decided instead to go to Congress, because Congress can force businesses to do whatever the heck it wants them to do, even on interstate commerce.
And see, that's what I'm concerned about right now, Steve. We've got a government right now that is not automatically a friend of business. And so what do you think? Where's the debate? In the 3 minutes we got left, where's the debate, and what's it likely? Which way is it likely going?
For the fourth Congress in a row, we have a draft piece of legislation that would force businesses, small businesses included, businesses that want to sell into other states on eBay, would have to collect and remit sales tax.
Now let's stop for a minute, Steve. Because see, when you say collect and remit, that's three quick words that some people might not realize. Folks, you've got to identify where this person lives. You've got to identify what tax district they're in. You've got to determine what percentage to charge them of sales tax. You've got to charge them, collect it, and then write a check, and then mail it to that company.
Hang on. What if it was a sales tax holiday? Before you collect, you need to check the schedule, because some states have back-to-school holidays or emergency preparedness sales tax holidays where there's no sales tax due.
But the point I want to make here, folks, is we say collect and remit. That goes by real fast. Think about the steps in that collect and remit transaction, and do that by every time you sell one little thing on the Internet.
Good point. I think we should never oversimplify with those phrases.
Well, see,
right.
this is. I mean, when you say it like I just did, small business owners are starting. They can total that up and say, "Wait a minute, I don't have time to do that."
And what I'm fighting for is to make sure that when these federal bills get introduced in the fall, that there's a robust exception for small businesses. I do not want small businesses doing a few dollars a month in multiple states to have to collect and remit. That's too big a burden. That's like erecting a toll booth.
Right,
to collect a new toll, but it costs you more to staff the toll booth than the toll you're collecting. This is $3 billion nationwide, and that burden should not fall on the back
of this
bill,
business. Is the bill going to pass?
In this Congress, I think it's 50-50, Jim.
Yeah.
50-50.
Now, well, right now, as I've said before, I talk about battleground states for the presidential election. Right now, there are battleground senators, aren't there?
There are, and I think California could make the difference. State of California is sort of on the fence, trying to decide whether it wants to embrace this legislation and adopt the streamlined sales tax scheme.
Right.
Other states like New York have gone a different route. They said it's too much work for us to simplify our system, so we're going to invent a new way to force people to collect New York sales tax. This was bad idea number 8 by Governor Pritzker before he became client number 9.
By the way, you've got the what you call the awful top 10 unveiled or revealed. Steve, tell the audience how they can find you and how they can find out more about the work that you're doing.
Thanks, Jim. It's at NetChoice, www.netchoice.org. And please check out, as you indicated, our brand-new iAwful. And it's really a Mr. Yuck sticker
for
awful legislation in the States that threatens e-commerce.
Right. Hey, Steve, thanks for the hard work you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Steve Del Bianco, ladies and gentlemen, netchoice.org. Be sure to check that out. And also actonline.org, the other organization he's part of, both outstanding advocates for you and me. Quick break. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Got a black magic woman.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.